the message is simply entitled tonight, After the Revival. After the Revival. What do you do after the revival? Take your Bible. If you have one of those, and open to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 and following. All right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, entitled After the Revival. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock," not him personally, his confession, "the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, of hell, shall not prevail against it." Now that was a big event. Verse 19, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, any way you slice it, that was a real God moment. In that event, with those disciples gathered at Caesarea Philippi, which would have been a particular region north of Mount Hermon, north of what we call the province of Galilee in ancient times, not Caesarea on the coast, it was actually inland north of Mount Hermon. They were gathered there for some R&R after a very, very extensive time of ministry, and they have this incredible revelation comes forth, and God, Christ promised he'd be given the keys of the kingdom. He'd build his church in that confession. Like, wow. Now watch what happens after this. Verse 20. "Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him," rebuking the Son of the living God. He knew he was. He made the confession, right? "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son, the Christ of God." Another one of the translations render it. "He took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' And he turned and said to Peter," Christ said to Peter, "'Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.' And Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Lord, take your word tonight in these remaining moments. And we thank you for how you have moved among us and what you're continuing to do and what is without a doubt happening in the spiritual realms around us that is such a threat to Satan and his kingdom. And that's why he has so attacked all of us from the top to the bottom of this congregation. So we quiet our hearts now for a few moments. We ask you to come and help us. Speak personally and dearly to us. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said a great big hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. You can define revival in a lot of ways. And it can be almost as different as there are persons when you ask people what it means. But just bear with me for a moment. When you come through an event, a time where God is visiting, now call it whatever you want to, okay? You can use whatever terminology you're comfortable with. But when you've come through a season in which God is moving, there isn't anything quite like that. Because when you're in a time where the Spirit of God is really loose in the house. More stuff will happen by accident that way that you can make happen on purpose any other way. God showing up. And really, that's the thing that all of us pray for, really, isn't it? That whenever we're together, that God will show up. But what do you do next? When God has showed up. Because hear me tonight, and I'm going to share it in this way. If I were to ask you, is the church process or event, how would you answer that? Is the church process or event? In other words, is a church about an ongoing, consistent, regular time where you have teaching and you have training and you have a discipleship and you have strategizing and all of that? Or is the church an event having these incredible, significant, what John Maxwell calls God moments? Is the church event or process? Well, as our son used to say, both. It's both event and process. What makes the events, the great God moments, so significant is when they're strung together by process. In other words, while you're waiting for God to show up, you're still in a process of preparing for Him to show up. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody. But a lot of times, and I come out of a very straight-laced, traditional, full gospel background. And I can remember in my younger years where services seemingly were only about the event, but there wasn't really that much emphasis on the process. But I think we've matured over the years to where we have recognized the significance of these other things as well that prepare us for God visiting powerfully, significantly. But when the event has come and visited, and then for whatever reason, maybe there's been a bit of the change of season. Really, what do you do after the revival? Because no revivals last forever. I've lived long enough, turned 60 in September. I've lived long enough to be through several seasons of the moving of God. I'm old enough to remember the charismatic renewal that began in my elementary years. And I cut my teeth as a teenager during the charismatic renewal. I was from the Pacific Northwest. And the county I lived in northeastern Washington State, had more hippies per capita than anywhere but Southern California. And a lot of those dudes brought with them out of Southern California that incredible renewal that hit out there and literally spread around the world. I can remember the charismatic renewal. I can remember what was called the third wave after the time of the charismatic renewal, where there was incredible growth in churches like the Assemblies of God and the Church of the Four Square Gospel and the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, and you can just start naming them, that really captured a significance with people who had an experience with God but were longing for connection. And during that third wave, I remember the days when the Full Gospel Church was across the tracks on the backside of town, and we weren't popular in our communities. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with us. We were called the Holy Rollers, et cetera, et cetera. I'm old enough to remember those seasons where our churches were nothing that anyone particularly desired. But I also lived through that season where all of a sudden those churches that had very, also all these people that had been baptized in the Holy Ghost during the charismatic renewal and were no longer welcome in a lot of the straight lace because they didn't fit and they raised their hands and they spoke in tongues and they were given the left foot of fellowship and they were headed out and they had to find somewhere to worship, and these churches just exploded. And they went from across the tracks to uptown and became some of the strongest churches in all of America during the third wave. And then the great blessing that came out of Toronto. the incredible refreshing that exploded out in Brownsville. And many of you were there and saw that experience. We were there many times. But I will tell you, everyone, I can talk about Azusa Street. I can talk about the Great Prayer Revival our guest talked about on Saturday night from 1857 to 59. But any move of God, the Great Scottish Revival, Stone's Folly, anyone you want to name didn't last forever. There was a season of God visiting. And it can happen in a church during a series of services where we can walk out of last week and we can say, wow, how glad we were we did that. Even better, God showed up every night, every service. People touched and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and folks that responded to the message of the gospel. But here's the great question. Even though there are some materials out there that seem to indicate that revival is really the it, there's more than that. Thank God for those moments of visitation. But what do you do after the revival? Because what often happens is instead of capturing, often it dissipates. And then people are like, well, what was that? I want you to notice in this text of the evening, where Peter has this unbelievable revelation. Beginning back in verse 13, where really if you read the context from the other gospel accounts, they've had an extremely busy season, and they've kind of gone aside for a while to have some R&R, to have some downtime. Or as the kids would say, they just went away to chill. How many of you love chilling? At that time where they were just kind of aside to themselves, just them, I can picture them sitting around a campfire. Because I like campfires. How many like campfires and s'mores? And yeah, I can see them sitting around there. And Jesus is basically debriefing where they've been and what they're seeing and experiencing. And Peter has this revelation that comes from God himself. He says, you know, whatever else anybody else may say, you're the Christ. And Jesus said, that's a revelation that could come only from my Father. And on that confession, I'm going to build the church. The gates of hell won't prevail. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. I mean, Peter must have felt like the biggest gorilla in the Washington, D.C. zoo. I mean, have you ever had an experience where God visited in such power and such greatness and showed you stuff and you experienced stuff where all of a sudden you felt like you were like, 10 feet tall and thinking about chasing down Goliath? Hello. Now, stay with me tonight for a few moments. I'm going to try not to be lengthy, but I want you to hear what I'm going to say. On the heels of any great visitation of God in the church or in our lives, point one, watch out. What we read next in these verses is almost unimaginable. The same dude that says, you're the Christ of God. We don't know how long these events are, the disconnection in time. We don't know that. We're not told that. All I know is the next event we hear about is Jesus with his disciples and Peter rebuking him. And Jesus saying, that does not come from your mind, Peter. That came from Satan. Satan just used you. He all of a sudden went from 10 feet tall, chasing Goliath and Ishbabidob and all the rest of the sons of the Philistines, down to about 2 inches tall, running from Pee Wee Herman. One right after the other. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Listen very carefully. The time of the greatest temptation in our lives is not when things are going bad. It's when it's going great. Because what happens in prosperity is folks have a tendency to become desensitized to reality and they let down their guard and they get sloppy. And I want to submit to you tonight something. If the enemy could get to Peter, he could get to any of us. And Jesus recognized where both came from, where thoughts came from. One came from God, one came from the darkness. He knew the difference. And when you have come through an incredible time of being visited by God, watch out. Because the enemy is going to look for renewed access in whatever way he can. First of all, to steal the word out of your heart. But also, he wants to ruin the experiences with defeat. And we can't, whatever you call it, however you want to codify it, we simply cannot get, we can relax to the point that we can quit praying, we can quit attending, we can get isolated, thinking we're so full of God we don't need the church, and we're actually making all of the wrong decisions. When you're in a time of great visitation, it's during that season where God so often calls people and lifts people up to go out and do his work in the aura and the flame of God's goodness at work. But we must watch out, because the enemy is going to look for an opportunity to derail everything God has done. We must be aware. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 11, he said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're aware of it. We're not deceived by it. We're not surprised by it. So whenever, it doesn't even have to be an extended series of services. Maybe God does this unbelievable miracle for you. Watch out! Satan wants to steal the miracle from you. You can't let it happen. When God has been moving in the midst, watch out. Listen, hear me tonight. In every great move of God, there's a dirt and a divinity principle. I've shared this with you before, but listen to tonight. There's a dirt and a divinity principle. The divinity is God, the dirt is us. Every move of God is going to have dirt in it, because we're it. And whenever God moves, there's going to be people who go too far, they'll do too much. There's always going to be some flesh. I know people that will tell you, you better watch out for those moves of God, because all I ever see is a bunch of flesh. Well, that's who we are. And whenever you get people in the middle of anything, there's going to be mistakes made. And sometimes people are going to get involved in certain levels of excess. It doesn't unravel God's move. It simply is something we cannot get all bent out of shape about, because sometimes people mean the best. They have good hearts, they have good minds and souls, but the enemy is going to try to steal from us what God has done. And it may come in some of the most unlikely of places. Now, God does almost nothing without human cooperation in this world. But you better be prepared for the fact that the enemy also uses people. That was one of the hardest things for me to learn as a young minister. I had to learn the hard way that the enemy can use people to attack us, to lie about us. You know, great success will make false friends and real enemies. And sometimes we don't see it coming, where all of a sudden we come under incredible attack by people. Now let me tell you something. None of those people will have branded across their forehead, I am a tool of the devil. But you will know by the nature of what's happening that the enemy is doing this. You shouldn't, in and of itself, when you come through a great move of God, and the power of God has come all over you, and you've experienced signs, wonders, and miracles, please don't anyone take what I'm going to say personally or wrongly. I don't mean it wrongly at all. I saw some of you prophesying down that prayer tunnel Thursday night. It blessed my socks off. I put my socks back on, but it blessed my socks off on Thursday night. I mean, I saw you all prophesying over. Wade told me the same thing. He said, he's never seen anything like it. And they're not novices. He said, I've never seen anything like that. He said, it was not only them praying for people, they themselves were prophesying, and people in the tunnel were prophesying over people praying for them. Wow! And, you know, you come out of a service like that, you're like, oh, my God, where's the devil? I'm going to chase him down. I'm going to get him. Is it making sense to anybody? And then on the heels of that, like, oh, my God, did that person actually say that to me? And it's like you take a body shot. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy doesn't want you riding high in God. The enemy doesn't want you soaring on wings of eagles. And he is going to attack you in ways you don't even dream or imagine. Watch out. In fact, the scripture says, prepare your minds for action. Because this enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So when God is moving and you've experienced that great move, watch out. Watch out for you and watch out for your family and watch out for your soul and watch out for those around you. Second of all, when you've experienced a great and breaking of God's presence, realize God does that for a reason. If you've never heard this before, memorize it now. You're blessed to be a blessing. When God pours out His Spirit on you, it is so you in turn can go and share that which He's done for you. And He doesn't do it for any of us so we can get all fat and sassy. And I'm not making eye contact tonight. But there was a time during the charismatic renewal, and you heard this all the time, when people were just talking about, I want to be fed. I just want to be fed. I just want to be fed. Well, the reason why we eat is so we live. We don't live to eat. Right? Right? And the reason that God blesses you is so you can be a blessing. So you can take what God has given to you and you can share it with the persons around you, where you work and where you live. And that joy and that presence and that aura that people pick up on. And they think, what are the... See, well, I shared the testimony with you about our grandson and saying Jesus is here. Nancy and I were talking about that. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're in a place where God is moving, people will pick up on stuff you don't even realize. They'll see it on you. They'll sense it. And they'll be like, where in the world they've been? What I'm about to tell you actually happened. It actually happened. Some years ago, I was invited, along with a pastor I was preaching for at the time, to be on Trinity Broadcasting. Their affiliate was in Greenwood at the time, and we were asked to go on television and just to share and to talk about revival, talk about the move of God. And God, it was moving mightily. And so when we got finished with the taping of that interview, we were seated at a restaurant. Now, that was not going to air for a few days, so it wasn't live or anything like that. We were in a restaurant where we had gone following the taping of that interview, and we were seated in the restaurant, and a waitress came up to our table, and the moment she got there, she almost visibly backward. She said, you all are a table of ministers. And none of us had name tags and hello, I am. We didn't have any of that on. There was no way to identify us. We didn't have Bibles on our table. We didn't have any distinguishing anything. But I'm going to tell you, when you're in the presence of God, you carry something with you. That's why being in the environment is so important. Because when you receive that, you can share that. And people will pick up on stuff you don't even realize they're picking up on. They're going to sense a presence. They're going to sense something different. It's alluring. It's magnetic. And after Nancy and I were talking about what our grandson said, I thought, wow. We just came out of 5 power-packed services. And he's already experienced conversion in his 5-year-old life. And he's already sensitive to the presence. And he was picking up. He said, Jesus is here. And let me tell you, and that's why it's so important to be in these services. Because you're going to take something with you back where you work. You know, it was said of Charles Finney in the Second Great Awakening. It began in northern New York, but they said when Finney walked in the front door of a factory, men would fall at their lockers in the back. They knew he'd walked in the house before they ever saw him. Our guest didn't tell you the whole story about the 1857 prayer revival, the layman revival. At the height of that move of God, when 10,000 people were gathering every lunch hour in New York, as ships would approach the U.S. coast, this would have been the 1859, just before the U.S. Civil War. By the way, it saved the country. On the heels of the 1857-59 prayer revival was the U.S. Civil War. What saved America, that prayer revival. But it was said that when ships would approach the U.S. coast from overseas or out of Europe, that the harbor pilots were told by the ship captains as they were approaching the U.S. coast, it happened time after time, they would tell the captains, bring every minister you could on the ship because we got guys repenting in their bunks and don't know what to do with it. Approaching the U.S. coast. Now, something was perceptible and palatable in that move of God that saved America through the U.S. Civil War. Also, D.L. Moody came out of that revival. And D.L. Moody transformed. You know the story. I could talk to you about all the different persons. And I could talk to you about those one generation, the next generation that came down, people like Billy Graham and the millions that have been. Let me tell you. After the revival, not only watch out, but do something with what God has done for you. Please don't take this wrong, but don't just get fat on it. Go give it to someone. Find someone. Say, you know, I've been in these services and God's been at work in my life and I want to pray for you. I want to be a blessing to you. And what that will do, it will self-perpetuate the move of God to subsequent generations so that the next great move of God, they're going to be the recipients of it. Take whatever God is doing for you and give it away. Get involved. Do something with what you got. And you may say, I don't know what I've got. Now, go into the presence of God and say, God, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? And there's something about that process of giving away what God has so blessed you. And by the way, you can't give away what you don't got. So you got to get something, and when you get it, make a decision to do something with it. Share it with someone. Find someone that's lost and target them for the gospel's sake. Start sharing and telling them. And Pastor Richie said it so. It was like he was in that meeting on Monday night. I told him, I said, Pastor, you must have been in that meeting. And what did he tell us to do? It's so appropriate. He said, share far and wide. Start not inviting wholesale, inviting retail. Just start finding everybody you can. I'm going to tell you something. If what is happening leading into the revival, the 10 days of triumph that we participated in, there was an attack, and many of you had it happen to you as it happened to us, the attack came out of every which direction. And leading into the launch of tonight, there was this unbelievable, similar kind of... If that tells me anything, it tells me the enemy already knows in the heavenly realm that something's about to happen right here at First Assembly in Crawfordsville. And we better get ourselves prepared. And I bear the indulgence of my wife to share something God told each of us. It's the third point tonight. You better get even stronger. We feel... more than ever before, we better get stronger as we possibly can. We got a war ahead of us. Do you know why that's why God often pours His Spirit out on us? It's to strengthen us for what's coming. You can't see it, I can't see it, but you better be ready. And we are really sensing, not just God, take this however you want to. We not only sense of what's coming, but we even feel like the Spirit of God saying, get yourself ready physically for this. Because when you go through a battle, it's hard on you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You ever been through a time of attack that just really was difficult and really wore on you? Wore on you emotionally and wore on you financially? we need to get strong. Nancy and I are already planning with what God showed us, and I felt at liberty to just say it to you tonight. Start getting yourself involved and start preparing yourself. Start doing things to get ready for the fight that's coming. Those of you that are in the military, you went through basic training to prepare you for the fight. Start doing the things you can do to be as healthy as you possibly can. And I know we all have, I have issues, I know many of us have issues, but we can start doing something about it. Even if it's just a little something. Start preparing yourself. Because coming out of the revival, there's going to be a heightened sense of His presence, but there's also going to be a heightened sense of attack. And we need to strengthen ourselves and be prepared for the fight. Because God is about to do wonders among us. And we better be ready for what will come with it. Because listen to this. If I were to say to you tonight, how many of you think it's a good idea to launch out into the deep and to go deeper in God? We'd say, yeah! But can I tell you something about the deeper water? The bigger fish are in the deeper water, but also the weirder fish. Some of them fish out in deep water have got their eyeballs both on the same side of their head. And you go down into the Marianas Trench, the deepest spot in the on Earth, and they show pictures of some of them critters lying down there, just flat weird. As God moves, weird stuff's going to happen. Oh my God, we've seen stuff you can't make up. You can't make up. And everybody wants a move of God, but do you want what comes with the move of God? If we really want to touch the church community, and we say whosoever will, if we mean that, some of the whosoever wills are going to be like, oh my God, do we really want that kind of person? But God accepts them all. And I can take you to people tonight that we knew a long time ago didn't look like that. Didn't smell like that. Didn't dress like that. They came out of some really bad places. But when the power of God got a hold of them, He transformed them and cleaned them up and scrubbed them up, hosed them down. And yet, I have seen through our years of ministry people at times bail because they didn't want to minister to that kind of person. I'm not exaggerating. People say, you know, we don't want to minister to those kinds of kids. We don't want to go into those areas of town. But I want to tell you, I sense the pleasure of God when people love people and say, God, you do, we'll do the catching, you do the cleaning. You know, you do the work. And somehow in that process, there's going to be some strange stuff and some difficult stuff and some weird stuff. And can I say this to you? In the process of the battle, there may be even times when you get knocked down along the way. Watch out. Prepare yourself for action. Remember, God's at work. But if come what may, something like that goes on, whatever you do, don't stay down. As Pastor Richie would say, and only he could say it, get your butt back up. And get ready. We're all in this together. I thank God for this church. I thank God what He's doing. We sense it in our lives. You sense it in your lives. And it's just off the charts cool. Now let's together capitalize on what He's done. Father, we thank You. We praise You. For Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace, help us. We know that the enemy is going to look for the opportunities to try to derail all we've done. Steal away the visitation of Your Spirit from our hearts. And Lord, we must watch out. Lord, we must prepare ourselves for the things that are just ahead. Lord, I pray that You will guide us, help us, enable us, anoint us. Bless the leaders of this church and bless the department heads of this ministry and those that experienced something awesome and wonderful in previous days right here on this property. And we ask you, Lord, to help us as we've come to the end of one season, and now we're stepping into the new season of what you have for us. We recognize there will be things that maybe we didn't quite anticipate. But yet, Lord, it's not just a event, it's also a process. Consistently, regularly putting it out there. Praying about you, visiting us, and you have and you will. And Father, I really cannot hardly wait for what's coming. Because it's going to be amazing, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be awesome. And I know you're going to use the people seated in these seats tonight and those that are here faithfully on Sunday and those that come on Tuesday night to work in those varying ways. As we see you ministering in power and mercy, we thank you. Thank you for how you're at work and thank you for what you're doing. Help us, oh God, somehow in the midst of all this, to every day, the best way we know how, make ourselves available unto you. Because, Lord, this world is just waiting for persons who are totally sold out to go and proclaim the message. Time is short. Time is short. We don't have a long time to do what we must. Help us every day to be the people we need to be. In Jesus' mighty name.